This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and today I'm joined by, I think, every school councillor from Johnson County School District. Hello, ladies. How are you? Nice to see you all. So I'd just like to introduce you. Jen Skaggs, you're at the middle school.
Yes.
Kasan Mathson at the high school at Buffalo. Julie Heil, you're at New West. Riley Olson from KC. And Michelle Dahlberg, also from Buffalo High School. And Heather Haas, down in the bottom grades at Clickrick Middle School.
Yes, and we are missing Lisa Stein.
Yes, of course you are. Yes. Well, we apologise to Lisa that she's not here, but we're going to talk about a showing of a movie. You're putting this on, really encouraging parents and students to see this, called Screenagers, Growing Up in the Digital Age. Julie, can you explain what the thought was behind this and why you're showing it?
Sure. We just came across this film. Some of us were able to watch it a few years ago, and really what it addresses is how more and more screen time that students are exposed to, how it could be influencing their mental health and their ability to focus in school. And so we're seeing evidence of that in our district and wanted to partner with parents to share the same information that we're getting with them so that we can make good decisions together.
So you represent you're counselling students of a multitude of different ages, really through all the grades. What as counsellors are you noticing? And some of you have been around as counsellors for a long time. And what are you seeing that is changing and what is happening? What are those particular types of concerns? Do they fall into different types of categories? What are they that we're actually seeing here in Johnson County?
For the age group that I work with, we see a lot of online bullying that influences how a student feels when they're during the school day, even though it might not be happening right at that moment. And then just the increased anxiety with the exposure of what they're seeing online, and the their executive functioning skills are diminished because students are having a harder time paying attention and, sitting through school and giving it their due diligence to be good students, because what they're seeing online is very fast snippets of information, and that is just, that is not the way that school.
So what sort of things what are they actually scrolling through? I mean, TikTok is, a universal platform that, may or may not be banned at any moment, but the notion is that you just sort of randomly scroll and there's an algorithm just sort of feeding stuff to you. What sort of things are they seeing that is causing anxiety?
Our students we don't have phones allowed at New West, but that doesn't mean that they don't get on their phones outside of school and during lunch. We see a lot of watching kids game because a lot of them are into gaming. TikTok is super popular. Snapchat is still really popular. The pressure to keep their online relationships going, connecting every single day, sometimes supersedes what their school responsibilities are. I mean, it just kind of varies depending on the student. But
I don't think you can have been a parent of a teenager who has Snapchat without hearing the cry, "What about my streaks?"
Yeah.
What about my streaks? And this sort of connection, but also, and we were talking earlier about this, there's a maybe those aren't really genuinely fulfilling relationships either. Maybe they are superficial. Do you notice that shows up in the real relationships that they're trying to have in school or elsewhere too?
Well, I can say in the middle school, our policy is you can't have them in classrooms. So they're not really an issue in the classrooms. But where we see kids disconnect or not build relationships is at lunch or in the hallways. They're walking around reading their phones, or instead of talking to a peer, going to the classroom and all talking, they're all on their devices. At lunch, the kids that don't have phones feel left out because they can be sitting at a table of everyone on their phones. And kids, when they look at their phones, are just scrolling and they're reading, and they're not even having deep conversations. It's what they see on their phones. So if you're not part of that, or you're not invited to things because you're not part of that crew, you're not on that text thread, you're not on that Snapchat thing. And kids are, I think teachers are seeing that kids, that executive functioning huge at the middle school. Self-confidence is huge, like middle school 11 to 13-year-old girls and boys. That's like the biggest time of building self-esteem, and it just breaks them down. You know, if they don't look pretty enough, or they don't have enough friends, or they don't have enough likes, or they don't have a phone and everyone else has a phone. And so I've seen in 20 years that I've been working here, that's a major concern, just the anxiety that kids have. They don't know how to have conversations without their phones.
So are there any particular platforms or apps and so on that you think are much more toxic than others for young people? Or is it just the universality of the whole, the sort of cacophony of social media and scrolling and being on a device?
I feel like it's that. I don't think we struggle with like one certain app over others. It's just, the mental health that kids feel. And I think kids are identifying it. Mm-hmm. Like, not just parents. You know, they're not sleeping because they're on their devices too late. They're getting notifications. Even though they're keeping their phones over there, they're still aware of the notifications. And they can say it doesn't distract them, but it does. Like, they've just lost the train of thought of what the teacher was talking about.
I would like to add to that as well. I think right now there's a lot of conversation around phone, but I think when we're talking about screens as a whole, I think also students are on video games a lot of the time. We see it more typically with boys, but if that is an unmonitored piece, they can be on very, very late, and they come to school very tired.
There's a statistic that comes with the Screenager press release, which says that it can be that boys can spend the equivalent of 1.5 days a week on video games.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of waking conscious time.
And I think at the elementary level, I mean, we definitely have kids who have phones at Cloud Peak Elementary, grades 3 through 5. And that does become an issue. But what we hear a lot more is the screen time on video games. And there's a lot of interaction. They don't just go play video games by themselves. They may play with friends. So there is some perceived friendships and perceived interactions, but it's very different than just go playing with a friend. And so these kids spend hours and hours just on screen, and they're not getting out and playing, and they're not interacting with others. I shared earlier when we were talking, you know, just some kids aren't learning how to make friends, you know, how to make real friends. They say, I have friends online, good enough, but that's not the same as having a friend to sit down and talk with, or even play it with at recess. And so it's concerning that we're getting kind of sucked in. And I've seen this absolutely with adults too. We're getting sucked into this internet world, right? This screen world that keeps us from making real relationships with people.
I can't tell you how many times a meme has popped up on my phone, which is basically, it says something along the lines of, you know, kind of being a mother of a teenager means being friends with other mothers of teenagers, and all we do is we share memes. And it's pretty much that, you know, because you're busy and tied up and distracted by all the other things, and that you consider to be really good friends because you send memes that you both laugh at. That is, admittedly, that is not friendship either, is it?
Yeah, so the role model piece of what we're doing as adults, too, is huge, and I think that these movies that we're going to play, the Screenagers movies, the books that we're going to read along with them, and some of the other books that are coming out are really good for us to take a look at ourselves and what we're modeling for kids. Mm-hmm.
So do you think that parents are also concerned about the influence of devices and that at different ages, you know, when there's always that dilemma of when do you give your kid a phone and what do you allow them to do with it and so on. But really once you've given the phone, the genie's sort of really fast moving out the bottle. Are parents concerned about this? Are they aware that there are difficulties associated with device use? Let me put it that way.
At middle school level, for sure. Like, it's a major discussion because the kids are hitting their parents up. And in sixth grade, they're always like, we have to have a device. And we always advertise, you do not have to have a device. And there's even, I would say, half the seventh grade doesn't currently have a phone. So there's a lot about wait till you're 16 to get a phone. Or even, you know, they even say if you get a phone, just have one that you can just text and you can make calls on. Mm-hmm. Like, that's appropriate age. It's giving them the device that has all the social media. Like, social media is one of the bigger concerns when it comes to middle school age kids, giving them.
Is that realistic? I mean, that's a bit like, you know, saying you need to wear T-bar sandals until you're 16 with mm-hmm. white ankle socks. I mean, is that realistic?
But I do think there's people out there, like there's a phone called Gabby that a dad created that basically looks like a smartphone, so that your kid still looks like everyone else, just mm-hmm. like the fake brands mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. create, but it doesn't have all those apps on it, and you control it a little bit more. And I know there's always parent device or parent protections that we give out. What I've learned in 20 years of education, that you give that out, and by the next day, there's some loophole.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard. I think parents are asking all the time, like, what can I do? And it's just technology changes so fast. It's really hard. All we can do is kind of give them the tools that are now. And in 2 months, it'll probably be updated.
One part of that is this free screenings of
They provide so many parent resources. And we're excited to partner with parents and learn a lot.
And is there anything else that, you know, is going to become available? Is there anything that's happening for students themselves to learn about the implications of their own phone use that you're doing?
There's a whole curriculum that is available K through 12 that we can access and kind of sprinkle through our guidance teaching in the schools. And then we're facilitating 2 book studies right now where we're working on or have done a book study with our staff at school. We have access to this screenager material for a year, and we hope to continue. We're just starting, so.
And of course, it's worth pointing out that the school district itself is reviewing its own cell phone policy, and that there is also legislative discussion happening, you know, in Cheyenne right now about, you know, cell phone policies in education, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge awareness of an issue. Maybe there isn't a universal silver bullet solution, but you're encouraging parents to come to screenagers, and I'll make sure that the dates and all the times and so on are put there. What should they expect? It's a fairly short movie, isn't it? It's just an hour or so. Mm-hmm. And so what should they expect, and who should come? Should you bring your child with you?
Yeah.
You can. We have additional showing of in the other theater of Inside Out 2. Which is kind of a kid's movie about self-regulation and emotions. So if childcare is an issue, we encourage parents to bring their kids to that film while they attend the screenagers, and there'll be trusted high school kids in there to kind of monitor the children. There's going to be snack packs available for free for attendees. The screening lasts about an hour, and then we'll have a Q&A for 20 to 30 minutes afterward.
And that's an opportunity for parents to ask questions and have conversation and so on.
Yeah, just kind of digest the information and maybe talk amongst themselves about ways that they could implement some of it at home.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else that we may not have covered that you would like people to know about screenagers and why you're showing it?
I just want to give a shout out to our partners who are going to partner with us. The Buffalo Theater is working with us. And then we've got 4, Trevor Moon, Jake Jones at North Wyoming Insurance, Nick Smith at Farm Bureau, Alicia Kozacek at State Farm, and Tim Blaney at Summit Psychology are going to pay for our snack packs. So the concession stand will be open for parents to buy anything else. But everyone is offered a free snack pack if they would like to come and enjoy a night at the movies.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, everybody, for taking some time and explaining more about screenagers and why we need to start thinking about solutions to these problems.
Thank you, Kate.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.